Good evening, everybody. All right. Tell you what, in a world where we are inundated with negativity, tonight we are going to totally shift that focus. All right? Not only are we going to shift that focus, but we're going to let you know that there are some incredibly positive people in this world doing some incredibly good things for the kingdom. All right? Hopefully the stories that we'll be able to tell from our summer missions, they will uplift you. They will inspire you. And they will encourage you to keep trying, to love deeply, and to live simply. These are just some of the stories, some of the lessons that we have learned from Potter Children's Home in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and from Give Kids the World Village down in Kissimmee, Florida, right outside of Orlando, and also Porlos Niños in Catacamas, Honduras. I don't know why I chose the beach. Now I've got to go to the bathroom, okay? All right. But you can see, just keep trying, love deeply, live simply. We're going to have three, they're video trailers of different trips we did. The first one, just listen up and watch, and you'll see some of the things that went on at Potter Children's Home. There you go. Potter's has become a family that we have grown to love. This was our fourth year to go up there, and I hope that y'all can see faces better than I can. Probably not. If y'all need to just all come up and see them, no, I'm kidding. Potter has gone through some monumental transitions, some huge changes through the years, but there has been one constant. They are deeply, absolutely, 100% committed to these children and establishing a strong Christian foundation. But that was what we saw from the kids at Potter from the first year to what we experience now is totally different. The first year that we got up there, what you got to realize is that our teens are awesome, and so are our adults. And typically when we go on mission trips, the kids that we see, the people that we see, instantaneously, immediately fall in love with us. You know, my dad says, everyone loves us. But that was not the case that first year, and it was tough. Because what you have to remember about the children at Potter, there have been these huge walls in their life. And so many of them struggle with physical abuse, with mental abuse, with sexual abuse. And for years, all their life, all they've known as far as a home, they've been moved from home to home to home their entire life. So they really struggle intensely with trust issues. So when we get up there, we see this immediately. And that night, our teens were discouraged. Our adults were discouraged. And we had a heart-to-heart that first night. And what we all needed that first night was a mama's love. Okay? And I was so thankful that we had about six of God's best mamas up there with us. This was actually the second year up there on the top left. Of course, through the years, we've added a few more awesome moms too. Francie Savage has joined us. Sandy Sims. I thought I saw Sandy. Where'd Sandy go? Maybe I saw her this morning. Sandy Sims has been there. Let me share with you what we shared with some of our teens, dealing with these walls of distrust. It was Diana Clemens and Whitney and Dee Sandlin, Lydia Howe, Amy Taylor, and Kim Bassett that were all there that first year. And these mamas looked at all of us and they said, "You cannot give up. You have got to keep trying." And the teens do what teens do so well. They say, "I know, but..." All right, so they're starting to, you know, state their case. And I can't remember which one of these moms say, "Don't you but me." All right? And once they said that, they had their undivided attention. Don't you realize, if you give up now, this early in the game, you fail them and you fail him. You all need to get some rest. And I want you to pray hard tonight. I want you to pray hard and have faith that God will move some mountains here and start breaking down these walls. Can I tell you something? The second day was so different from the first day, wasn't it? In less than 48 hours, we were starting to see walls come tumbling down. And you say, how in the world did they do it in so little time? And it was so easy. They had to change this. It was a changed mindset, and it was almost immediate. And what they did so well was what you have taught them almost their entire life. And this was the changed mindset. But they were finally able to connect with what God has to say, and now they were living it. And that changed mindset started here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And they were starting to realize that these kids at Potter, that these were our neighbor. Okay? And they were ready to invest everything they had in it for the remainder of the time there. typically, when others give us a cold shoulder, we will have two responses. We'll either give them a cold shoulder back, right? Okay? Or we will just totally shut down or shut them down. And what was amazing watching these teens at work was not seeing that. We were able to see them loving their neighbor as their self. And God says, you know, in situations like that, this is what I want you to do, Claire Clemens. All right? You want to know what you do? You do this. You treat them the way you want to be treated. Treat them the way you want to be treated. Love them my way. Love them God's way. Your job is not to change them. Your job is to live the gospel message out in hopes that they will anchor to him. Did you get that? You want me to say it again? I'll say it for Shirley. She said one more time, okay? Your job is to live the gospel message and hope that they will anchor to him. That's it. It's the golden rule. It is that simple, but isn't it tough living it sometimes? Of course. All right? This was our first team. Y'all have any idea why I love my job so much? Any idea? Well, we don't have a lot of time. Matter of fact, I've gone over this about 15 times now, and every single time I'm right at an hour and 42 minutes. But I hear that y'all are leaving like 7 o'clock right on the hour, so I'm about to kick it into hyperspeed, all right? So this is why I love my job so much. I get to see these teens. I get to see these adults. I get to see so many of y'all living this gospel message out over and over and over. And that is inspiring to me. All right, but this is another reason why I love this job so much. And I didn't really understand what was going on, but you see Dylan Holson back. He was just a little guy back then. This is the first year, and you see him, he's up on the top of the column. You see what he's doing with his arm? Huh? What is he doing with his arm? This is what I never understood with teens. Every time we would get together for our group picture, you know what they would do? Somebody on the end, some bozo, would stick their arm out, and it was like, come on, I can't get a good picture. So this time, I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ride this thing out, all right? I just thought, why is he hugging the air? No one is even there, all right? And I knew that is so weird. But teens are weird, so I didn't think much about it, right? Okay, so here Dylan is, and I'm waiting for the picture. All right, Dylan's pretty strong, but I'm going to wait. Surely at some point, his arm is going to get tired, and he's going to lower it, and then I'll get the good picture. All right, his arm never got tired. So what I told him, I finally said, hey, goofball, up there on the column, hey, you want to lower your arm? What are you doing? And the whole group responds, they're saving room for Jesus. Okay? He's saving room for Jesus. I could show you, matter of fact, go on River Chase Church of Christ Youth Ministry, go look on all of our Facebook photos of any trip, and about 98% of them, you'll have one of the teens, and what are they doing, Weston? They're saving room for Jesus. And I said, parents, is that not exactly what a parent has been dreaming about? What we've been praying for our teens, for our kids, that they would always save room for Jesus. Amen? If you want to know how to save room for Jesus, watch some of the teens in action. How do they do it on mission trips? Through guys like this. You might look up there and say, well, I don't know Jerry Cleghorn too well. Top left, we're going left to right. I don't know Sam Ledbetter too well. What do you mean, saving room for Jesus? Colin Rose, all I see is a Hawaiian shirt in Bowling Green, Kentucky. All right? All right, but let me tell you how these guys are saving room for Jesus. We were up there, and we take all the kids from Potter out to eat one night. And you say, well, man, aren't there usually five in that group? Where's Marshall Dyer, and where's Ben Crowley? You know where Dyer and Crowley were? They were up getting the food for this guy. His name is JJ. And you know what Colin, Jared, and Sam were doing? They're saving a room, saving a seat for JJ. Okay? Why? Because JJ has become family. That's why. Always save room for Jesus. What do we do on these trips? We work a lot. Most of everything at Potter is construction type projects. And what you'll see, you see this big beaming light coming through. Okay, you can't even see, but JJ's in the back. All right, but I tell you what, he has this infectious smile. All right, and every time we're around him, he is just grinning. But he wants to be with those guys every single time. All right, and first year we get there, and I told you everything, everybody was just kind of cold that first night or two nights. And then they just started warming up. Why? Because our teens just kept trying, kept at it. All right? What does Paul say? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. Right? Let us run the race with perseverance. Let us fix our eyes on who? Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Don't you ever, ever, ever give up. You keep pointing them to Jesus. Amen. These guys, we talk about walls. There are a lot of walls, internal walls, but there are also some physical walls that got to come down. All right, Potter's original building was built back in 1901, I believe, and back then, the way they run orphanages are totally different from the way they run them now. So we have been renovating, we have been gutting different buildings to make those into more apartment-style dwellings. They call them cottages. So these guys were up there busting walls out, busting the ceiling out, getting everything cleaned up. And go look on Facebook, you can see just piles and piles of wood that came in. And right as it hits the ground, boom, all these folks are walking up. I would have helped, but somebody gave me a chainsaw, and I really didn't know what to do with it. So that's some of the stuff we do. There's JJ's big old smile. I loved it. First year we were there, JJ never gave up on us, and we just shared a lot of time with JJ and everybody else there, but he is like the leader of everybody. He really is. As a matter of fact, all week long, you know that at some point you're going to have to say goodbye at the end of the week, and you know that time is going to be tough. But everybody is fine until you see JJ's big old smile. You see these big old beautiful eyes, and you see these big old tears welling up in his eyes. And once JJ goes down for the count, everybody goes down for the count. All right? But I will never forget circling everybody up. And we got all the Potter kids in the middle of the circle, and we just all prayed for them. And JJ just boo-hooed, and then he got on his bike. It's like a beach cruiser bike. He's got a tire on the back that is probably this wide, and it's real long. But that first year, he just kind of had it up where we eat and all that. The second year, JJ was meeting us out about halfway down by the road. So he was going to escort us in once we turned into Potter's property. Now JJ meets us halfway to Birmingham. That's where JJ is. Okay? Awesome, awesome kid. What do? You keep trying, and don't you ever, ever, ever give up. Keep pointing them to Jesus and make your circles bigger. That's what we talk about every single time we go. Make your circles bigger. If you want to know how to do it, watch them. Is this the video? Oh, man. Alicia, how else do you do it? Tell us about some of the guys. Watch Claire. Watch Jillian. This is Alicia. She was new to Potter. And wow, struggles deeply with some emotional issues, deeply with just junk. And Alicia thinks we're there to pull weeds and build buildings and paint. It's not about the projects. It never has been. It's about the Alicias. It's about the JJs. And that's why we go. We're just pointing them to Jesus. The projects are just a byproduct of that. They give us a list every year, and sometimes it's this long. And I say, that's great. But what do you want us to do the second day? We'll have that knocked out. And they say, you're so funny. And I say, no, I'm serious. These are some of the hardest workers you've ever been around. Just amazed. But I'm more amazed at how they listen and how they talk and how they engage. Give kids the world. What would you do if your child got extremely sick? What would you do when the doctors have done all they can possibly do? And they sit you down and they ask you one question. Do you have a wish? Does your child have a final wish? That's where these families are, every single one of them in their life. They are partnered with Make-A-Wish Foundation. They have corporate sponsors from Disney to SeaWorld to Universal to, oh my goodness, you can look on their website, givekidstheworld.org. You'll see that in just a second. These corporate sponsors are sponsoring millions of dollars to keep going what they have. But then, the sponsor list, you just see hundreds, if not thousands. Every single week, they fill 1,400 volunteer spots. So, at one time I was like, wow, there are so many people that go down there. Maybe they don't need us. They need you. They need you. Listen up, and then we'll talk about where happiness inspires hope. This is the video trailer that Give Kids the World. You see this on their website.
Hear that? That's the sound of thousands of wishes coming true every day at Give Kids the World Village. Here at this magical place, kids with life-threatening illnesses come from all over the world to fulfill one big wish. To visit Central Florida's most awesome attractions. For 1 week, kids and families are treated to the trip of a lifetime. They stay in a fairy tale villa in our amazing 70-acre resort in Central Florida. They go to pool parties, ride horses, play miniature golf, and that's not even the best part. Kids and their families, brothers and sisters too, get tickets to the area's coolest attractions, where they can ride the rides and enjoy the thrills all day long. They also get to eat yummy meals every day, including ice cream, for breakfast. And the entertainment each night is a dream come true. This all probably sounds unbelievable, but it's true. Give Kids the World Village is an awesome place that gives these special kids and their families what they need more than anything. A chance to forget about doctors and treatments for a while and just feel normal and have fun. And you won't believe this. This fantasy vacation doesn't cost kids or their families a thing. Nope. We count on the support of caring people and companies to keep the magic alive and the kids laughing. To learn how you can help, visit givekidstheworld.org. Give Kids the World. It's where happiness inspires hope.
Where happiness inspires hope. Where happiness inspires hope. When I first saw the logo, I thought, man, or the slogan, I thought, that is awesome. But I don't know if I really understand what that means until we experienced it. And now I understand. It is not a slogan to them. It is a way of life. It is not a slogan to them. Where happiness inspires hope. I was talking to the director over and over and over again, and he was telling me story after story after story, because at some point the doctors are just at they just throw up their hands and they say, we can't do anything else. And where happiness inspires hope. He was telling me that over 50% of the kids that are coming through Give Kids the World now, and they have pretty much one rule. You don't say no, okay? You just say yes. And you say, well, that's horrible. These are kids, and kids need to be told no. Yeah, but I want you to understand. I'm not talking about no as far as discipline when your kids disobeyed. I'm talking no for life. These kids have been given no hope for life. And all they do is come here for 1 week. And the volunteers and the staff cater to their every need. And they just give them yes. Where happiness inspires hope, what they mean by that is it helps these families renew their will to fight this battle again. You got it? And it is working. We go in and they set us up and we train and train and train. And I always thought, man, I would love to go to Disney and train with them. I would love to go to Chick-fil-A and train with them. They're just people, right? I would love to go to Publix. I love going places where people just say, I'm glad you're here. Thank you. And oh, it is so incredible. This is our crew that went. I think we had 24. But this is what was neat, because usually I enjoy taking the group pictures. I like seeing if they'll keep the hand up or down. But this is what was neat. You see this lady in the middle? Do you realize she is one of the head bosses of Give Kids the World? All right? I'm out there with the camera. I'm ready to take the picture. This is the boss of all bosses. And she walks by, and do you think she just passes by? No. She comes over and she meets us and she greets us and she thanks us and she starts talking to us about where we're from and all this stuff. And then the boss of all bosses are saying, let me put my stuff down. May I take your picture? This is the boss. This is like Donald Trump coming by and taking a picture. He would never do it. Well, I don't know. I really don't know him. But I know this lady. And well, she just stood there and hung out with us and hugged on us. And it was like, no, we're here for you. Thank you for doing what you do. So many stories, so little time. There's a place called, this is the Castle of Miracles. It's all the way in the back. This is what the streetscape looks like. Everything's brick pavers and, I mean, it's Disney. It's really Disney-esque. Disney-esque? Is that a word, Dave? I just made it one, okay? All right. Castle of Miracles. You say, what is that about? It's about this. Every child that comes through Give Kids the World, they get a gold star, okay? And the kid will write their name on it. And then they have a special place every time. I have no idea how they do it, but it's like this animated thing as far as how they give the star back. And you see, it starts floating all around. And what's cool about this thing is it has a location tracker. So if you come back years later and you want to find your child's star, you know exactly where to go to find it. The reason I was in here, Whitney worked it, several others worked this, but what you do is you help these parents find their child's star. I don't know if y'all realize this, but we have one in our midst, Mitch Jones. He was a recipient. I shouldn't say was. Mitch Jones is a recipient of Give Kids the World. And I am so thankful that God has blessed him and saw through all the brain tumor and all this stuff that Mitch Jones as his star. And this is so Mitch, because I know y'all can't really see it. And I don't know, some of you may. But Mitch didn't just write his name and the date. He says, I will come back. Okay? And he's not saying, I will come back to be served. I will come back to give back. And that's what so many of the people at Give Kids the World do. And that's what was just amazing to me and Steve, everybody that was there. Whitney was working there one evening, and there's a family of three that came in. A 15 to 16-year-old boy was with them, and they're asking, you know, will you help us find a star for this name? Oh, absolutely, sure. And she goes and she's talking with them and all this stuff, and they locate it, and sometimes they have this little machine, and it gets you up to the star. This is just one room. They have several. Some of them are even towers, and they're just thousands, if not millions, of stars. It was just amazing. But Whitney's looking, and she finally finds the star, and the parents just start crying. And she says, now, let me make sure if the names line up. Because she thought it was for the boy here that was with them. No. She was showing it for his sibling who had passed away a couple of years before. And what the mom said was, you have no idea the comfort this gives us to know that our son hadn't been forgotten. And it's just those little things that make a big difference. All right? A lot going on in these slides here. You look at the top left, and who do you see? You see Disney characters everywhere, Mickey, and these guys come out quite frequently. But what you see a lot more, you see the rabbit there, okay, and the rabbit's just sitting down like this with the little girl and just kind of comforting her. But this is what's neat. These kids are so very sick. And these kids a lot of times have a lot of trouble going to sleep at night. So you know what Give Kids the World has decided to do? They will, if your child is having trouble getting to sleep and parents are usually spent, they're tapped out, they're tired too, you can call Give Kids the World and you can have a couple of rabbits come over to your little villa and they will bring you something to eat, all right? And then they will spend some time and they will help you as a parent put your child to sleep. And while the child is there, and I know it's so exciting. People are calling from all over learning about it. Yeah. All right. So, and then the rabbit is just, will pet the kid's head and all that. And you think, oh, golly, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Well, hey, it's working. It is working. And it is providing comfort for a lot of parents. On the bottom left, that's the La-Ti-Da Spa. They have cool names for everything. A lot of our group, we worked over 20 venues during that week that we were there. And what they do, they can get manicures, they can get pedicures. They will also give them tattoos, like princess tattoos or stuff. Not real tattoos, of course, but they'll just do that. And the kids loved it. I think for the guys, they would make them like a tiger. They didn't have any elephants there, and that was awesome. But they would do stuff like that. The kids loved it. I want to share with you see Kelsey Biner right here in the middle with the banana split. This is the ice cream palace, okay? Yes, we get to serve ice cream at breakfast. And not just one scoop and what do you want, all right? It's anything you want, anything. So I had the night shift with, I think there were like four of us. And you say, well, I got diabetes. You know what? You don't think Give Kids the World has figured out something for ice cream for those with diabetes? They have. And we got to serve it, all right? Well, I'm gluten intolerant, all right? They got something for you too. And it was awesome, all right? So we would get all that together. But this is why I put this up here. It was towards the end of the night, and I saw this one guy. He comes in, and he is just in a total daze. And he's just kind of waiting his time in line. And, you know, one thing they've taught us is how to ask what they want. You don't say, what do you want? Okay? How can I serve you? You know? Oh, what could I get you? How many scoops do you want tonight? And stuff like that. So I said, sir, what can we get for you tonight? And he just said, this is what I was looking at. He couldn't make up his mind. I said, we got banana splits with all the fixings. We got, you think Baskin Robbins has a bunch? We got so many flavors you don't know what to do with it. Anything you want. Hey, we are world famous. We got world famous milkshakes here. Whatever you would like. And he finally said, just a scoop of Oreo. Absolutely. Sir, could I get you two? Yes, sir. Two. He goes, looks down again. And I'm watching him. I'm scooping those things, giving him big old scoops. And I said, sir, would you like some toppings for it? And he said, it's not for me. It's for my daughter. I said, wow, I understand. I understand. Is she not feeling well? And he just, tears. And he said, they just had to call hospice. They don't think that she's going to make it through the night. And I was like, good night. What do you say? What do you do? And I said, well, sir, we're going to make the best ice cream she's ever put in her mouth. What toppings? What are her favorite? She loves the gummy bears. Oh, yeah. Any color she likes? She only likes the pink ones. Let's get these blues and the creams, and we're just getting all, and I dump all that on there. Anything else, I even get another little cup, and it's just pink gummies, okay? And two scoops this big. And I give it to him, and I wrap that thing all up for him so he doesn't get the gook on him. And he looks at me. And it's all he can do to say thank you. So I've got the hairnet, I've got the disposable gloves, and I just asked the crew, will y'all just give me a second? Go take care of him. I step out from around the counter, and I go over there, and I just put my hand on his shoulder, and he just weeps. And I just asked him, and just told him that I am so sorry. And he said, for my daughter, she just wanted ice cream. Why? Because ice cream makes her happy. Me, I need you to pray. So that's what we did. And I said, he said, my name is Adam. My daughter's name is Lauren. Adam, I'm about to pray the biggest prayer for you, brother. So we pray right there on the little, I'm not going to get into that. Oh, we got to get through Honduras. But I said, Adam, I'm going to be looking for you tomorrow. I'm not asking you to do anything, but I'm going to be looking for you to see if your daughter was able to make it through the night. She did. And not only that night, but every night that we were there. Special, special stories. The restaurants. Big Dave. If you've never seen Dave in a flowery apron and a hairnet, you're missing out. Okay? But, of course, they're very restricted with the pictures that we can take. We can't take any pictures of the children there. So we didn't. And we really didn't have time. We were just absorbing these moments, just absorbing them. But Dave said, I tell you what, if that picture gets out of me in that flowery apron and that hairnet, I'm going to kill you. Okay, so Dave is, he's a big boy. And Dave is very strong. So you know what? I decided I'm not going to show you that picture. All right? Oh, no wonder. Sorry. JJ Express, Weston was over there. He's telling a phenomenal story. His job, he had the hat, the engineer hat, all this stuff, and he's got to get the kids on and off. Okay, these kids are so sick. And this one kid, he noticed how patient he was being, and Weston, his job, get him on and off, but once he gets them off, And before he gets others on, you know what he says? What does a train engineer say?
All aboard!
Right, that's his job. So once he does that, he notices this little kid that's so excited, and he just starts walking up to the thing, and Weston can tell he's real feeble. So he helps the kid on, and right as he starts helping him on, he sees this big smile come across this kid's face. The kid is loving it. He's happy. And the parents are just a basket case. And Weston hops down, and he puts his hand on their shoulder and says, "Y'all okay?" And you know what they say? "You don't understand. He's so sick. He has been so sick for months. And this is the first time we've seen a smile out of him in 2 months." So what do you do? You do what Gary Bradley taught you. You just look up and you hug them and you try and just make it through that moment. Winter Wonderland, incredible. Every night they have a theme party. It might be Halloween. It might be Christmas. All right, so that's what we did. This time we were actually working the Winter Wonderland. And this is what was so amazing. Santa comes. They have a parade for these kids. And everything's lit up. So you go and you work your way through the line, all this stuff, and you meet Mrs. Claus my job, I was the stuff man. Whitney, she was an elf. She got to escort them into the gift room. And I thought, oh, this gift room is probably like a McDonald's toy, right? You play with it one? No. This is Give Kids the World. They've got like real footballs. They have MP3 players. They have, you know, real Barbie dolls. All this stuff. And the child, the wish child, and the parents and the siblings, they just get to go pick out a present. So Whitney got to escort them. But as they come in to meet Santa, they always have stuff. So my job was to take their stuff and smile and kind of organize their stuff every now and then. If they have a cell phone or iPad, I would get to take that and take pictures, all right? So all of this is going on. It's over 100 people that came through. But then there's this one kid. And he was probably 3 years old. It was obvious, probably not going to make it through the night. And what Santa did with him, he gets the wish kid up there first. And he's just talking to the little child. And then, you know, the kid is, he's in a fixed stare at Santa's beard. And Santa reaches into his bag and he pulls out this, it's a light. It's like a bright light, a red light. And he says, boom. And he puts it on the kid's dad's shoulder. And the light stays there. And I'm sitting there with all this stuff and I'm looking at Whitney. How'd he do that? I don't know how he did that, but Santa did it. All right. And then, next thing you know, he saw the kid's eyes start to move. So now he's realizing, oh, so he's trying to focus. So Santa reaches in his thing again and pulls out a white light. And Santa puts it on Santa's nose, boop, like that. And this light is shining, and Santa starts doing this. And finally, you see a little smile come across this boy's face. He's got more tubes than you know what to do with. And Santa finally says, "Is it okay if I spend a couple of more minutes with your son? Y'all can go on and get the presents. I'm just stuff man, okay?" And photographer is there all the time with Santa. He's getting all these pictures. "Oh, we would love for you to." So Santa reaches in and gets like 15 lights. And he casts them across the ceiling. And they're like, they stay. And I was just, I am amazed. Okay, how does he do this? But this is what these are those moments you will never forget. Because as he's sitting there and Santa is holding this child that probably will not make it through the night. And he's just looking at him and the kid starts stroking Santa's beard. And Santa's just doing that and rocking him. And then Santa reaches up and grabs the boy's hand so gently and just holds it. And he begins rocking him. And the little kid, it was obvious he was about to drift off to sleep. And then Santa leans down, and this is what I hear. Okay. Jesus loves me, this I know. Santa is singing the song. And the kid goes to sleep, and parents come back in, and they're thanking him. And I had to make a confession to Santa. When it was all over, I went up to him, and all the stuff is gone. And I said, Santa, I'm sorry. He said, for what? And I said, for probably 2 years now, I had my doubts about you, if you were real or not. Okay? And now I know. Because the whole time I'm thinking of Jesus and how he invites the children to come to him, invites them. It doesn't get better than that. Love deeply. This is Honduras. I guess it's over. All right. Let's see if we can go to the next one. Oh, had a glitch. I'm sorry. Honduras. This is, our mission team. You know where it is? If you don't, it's in Central America. We took 22 missionaries with us. Two of those... We budgeted for 20, and Jennifer Dillard's brother-in-law and sister were begging. We'd never been on a mission trip, and we aren't taking a dime from the church. We're paying our own way. We want to experience this, but we don't have anybody to team up with. Can we team up with y'all and just pay for everything? So Orlando and Angela and their son Chaz went with us, met them in Honduras. Cuando en Hondo, what does that mean? When in Honduras. When in Honduras, you have no idea what you're going to see. All right, you got dogs on the back of motorcycles. All right, but we knew exactly who we would see and what we would see. We would see all these children that I want to put some stories with the coin banks very, very quickly. This year was totally different. This year was totally different because Por Los Niños is in a state of mourning. They are mourning the loss of Olga, Jorge's wife. She had gone with Jorge and a mission team back to Tegucigalpa, and she passed out. They couldn't figure out what had happened, and they rushed her to the hospital. They're administering CPR on the way, and she didn't make it. Jorge is a young guy, and it was devastating because he's been the local director there, and he's a house parent, and it was just so difficult. But we get to the hospital, we get to the airport, fly into Tegucigalpa, and we're getting all the stuff off, and Jorge has driven 4.5 hours to meet us. And I got to spend a lot of time with him. Those that went last year did too. And Jorge, once our eyes meet, we just start making a beeline for each other. And everybody's wanting to hug him, and he takes the time to hug anybody. And finally got up close to him. I just gave him a big old bear hug. And this big old teddy bear whispers in my ear, He said, Scott, we receive so many gifts and we are so grateful. Those things that we need, the necessities, and we are so grateful. But you, River Chase, you come at my greatest time of need. And for that, I am eternally grateful. You see, people have asked, not many, just a few, why don't we just send the money? International mission trips are expensive. Why are we going? And that helped to answer that. We are going in their greatest time of need. This is our crew. This is the tree of life of good knowledge. Not really. It's a mango tree. Okay, but it's in the middle of their garden. And you see, I'm showing you. Have y'all ever tried to take a selfie showing, like, pointing to a mango, a selfie? I was concentrating so hard. You know what I realized when I concentrate real hard? My tongue sticks out. All right? Okay, so I'm showing you that. This is Amigo. I can't even remember his name, but I just know that he came up to me and he said, he saw me looking at it and he said, oh, Scott, you like mango? I said, sí. You see, he speaks English a lot better than I speak Spanish. And Whitney laughs at me because when I start speaking Spanish, I'm really not. I'm speaking English with just a kind of a cowboy accent, all right? So I'm sorry, I'll probably do that some here, but he says, oh, you like mango? I said, sí. And he goes, oh, I get you mango? I said, bueno. Okay? So he says, all right. He says, for you, I climb. No, you don't have to climb. No, it's okay. For you, I climb. And he climbed up there and got a mango. And it was just me and him. And I was so excited. Have you ever had a fresh mango right off the tree? John Kelly is licking his lips down here. But this is what happens. He starts coming down. And do you know who found out? Austin Chandler. Look what he's doing. Okay, Austin Chandler is eating my mango. He pushes me out of the way and starts eating it. But not really. He's a great guy. We shared that mango. And then Matt Thompson came over, and then he did steal it. All right. That mango tree also served as a sycamore tree. We did VBS for them. And so they asked me, I guess I was the shortest guy on the team, to be Zacchaeus. So I got to climb that sycamore tree or the mango tree. So why did he do that? So he could see Jesus more clearly. And that's what the mango did. All right? It helps the teens, the children, the adults to rise above the distractions, chaos of the world so we can see Jesus more clearly. All right, so that's me, Zacchaeus. And once I got to the top, you see, Austin was Jesus. So I'm looking through the mango leaves and I'm saying, Jesus, Jesus. You know, it's Jesus. Yeah, y'all thought it was David Durantes, didn't you? Yeah, no, it was Jesus. All right, so I get down and we hug and the kids loved it. Last year we built them a cabana. It was a work of art. I don't know what's going on with the slides, but we're going to fly. This year we painted the entire school, and I thought we'd just knock that out. Had no idea that it is over 20 feet tall inside. So what I thought, you know, you'd be on the ground just painting, maybe a little stick or something. You had to knock that thing out. No, we had to erect scaffolding, okay? And it we got it done, though. Did y'all see Dee and Madison? Madison's high on the paint fumes. Dee and I think it's Kelsey, they were the paint scrapers. Any paint that we dripped on the floor, that they took care of that. Everybody did awesome. Wait, you see in the top middle, all right, you think I'm just showing you a picture of Sam Brown in the bathroom? I'm not. Went in the bathroom. You realize they don't have plumbing like we do. And I got a weak stomach, and just going in there, I was like, I can't. and other people, other mission team. They told us the last day we got to paint the bathroom, or that we get to paint the bathroom, right? So I'm like, all right, well, we will paint this bathroom. So I go in, and other people go in. They're out that quick. Sam Brown, I'll paint the bathroom. He goes in and cleans it. You see on the bottom left, this is Jennifer Dillard. You say, I don't see too many pictures of Jennifer that are clear. You want to know why? Girl was working so fast and so hard you couldn't get it. All right, but she went in there and scrubbed that place to a T. This is just some of the before and after. Harry Chandler got in there and he was just incredible. Man, Carlos has a home hospital. This is what we saw when we went inside. They got children everywhere. He was a retired school teacher, okay? And he has dedicated his life to helping these kids that would be dead. He's got volunteer staff. On top of the sign, you want to know what the verse above it is? Whatever you have done for the least of these, you have done for me. All right? He said, when you go in, I just ask that you don't be afraid of them. Hug them. Touch them. Show them joy. Show them happiness. Okay? So that's what we did. David Brown, I thought he was going to adopt this little one. This was one of my favorites. Favorite pictures. This is Harry Chandler. This little girl, you would go in and she's pulling on your hair and she's so happy and smiling the whole time. And Harry was so invested in this moment. Every single child there so invested. And he just, his heart just, it was about to explode. And he just reaches down, he just hugs her and holds her. They asked us to say a prayer when we left. And I was just an emotional basket case. And I said, Harry, can you please say this prayer? And most heartfelt prayer from a brother you've ever heard. I just love that guy. This is Alan. This is the youngest kid at Por Los Niños. Okay, I think he's 3 years old. When he came to Por Los Niños, matter of fact, all the children that come, the majority of them extremely malnourished and or eaten up with parasites. Alan was no exception. Okay, so you can tell he's not hurting for food now. Okay. Tell you what, you have no idea how the coin banks and your donations go. These kids are healthier than anybody. This is Alan just at VBS. He hops up on my lap, wants to show me his picture. And Daisy, another little girl there, she says, tickle him, tickle him. Okay, so that's what I'm doing. I'm just tickling him. He is very ticklish. Hondurans decided we want to rent out this place and have a little soccer match, okay? Scott Harper, Austin Harper, you know, Austin played for Vestavia. He's big time. Really, really, really good. But we've been to Honduras before, and we've done this every year, okay? We've only scored 1 point on these guys. All right, but Austin, he thought, hey, I think we have a shot. We're going to beat them. I said, all right, yeah, man, you go at it. We're going to be out there, all right? So we would switch goalies because they would pummel us and we thought we would die. But it was America versus Honduras. And I show the picture on the right. This is what their stadium or the stands look like. It was just a caged placed gravel, but it had AstroTurf down. Okay, this is Alan up here, and he just wanted to take a selfie with the camera, but he didn't know how to work the phone, so we gave him a real camera, and he sees the viewfinder, and he's happy, but Alan was dying to play. So he gets out there, and he starts playing. And next thing you know, the ball starts rolling towards him. And when he runs, he's with everything he's got. And The ball comes towards him, and he tries to kick it. But when he does, he totally misses the ball. And his leg spins around. He falls down on the ground. His jeans were probably four sizes too big. So they're halfway down his hiney. And he's bent over, showing everybody. But he is more concerned about the dust and dirt on his knees and his hands. And he reminded me of my son, Tyler, when he was that age, because he would stomp the ground and get so mad at the ground, and he would say, "That's not very nice. That's not very fair." All right? And that's how Alan was acting. But he's dusting all this off, and then this other little girl comes running up to him, and she has these incredible mother instincts, and she helps him pull his britches up, and she helps him dust everything off, and Alan's back at it. A few minutes later, the ball comes towards him again, and this time he connects and just tags the ball. Almost scored. I couldn't believe it. And this is what happened. Americans, Hondurans, everybody's in the air, just, all right, his house dad he's practically running out there just because he kicked the ball. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking Honduras versus America? No way. This was just the family of God getting together, cheering their boy on, wanting him to get in the game to make a difference. And that was it. That was it, and it was incredible. Vestavia High School donated 10 years worth of nets, brand new balls. Their stuff is dry rotted, holes all in it. This is Owen. I'm ending with this, and I'm glad we got out right at 6:50, okay? So, all right, everybody knows Dee's daughter, Kylie, right? Kylie's at Auburn now. But this little boy in the red shirt, his name is Armando. Now, these are the two boys, right? As Kylie comes onto campus, they're in love with Kylie Sandlin. All right? But Armando, I'm kidding, of course. But Armando she was so special to him. And you see what this little girl in the on the right, you see what she has in her hand? It's a little heart-shaped locket. So all week long, Armando would come up and he would say, "Kylie," and show her the locket. And she would say, "Oh, Armando, is that for me?" And he would say, "Yes." So he would give it to her, and right as she would reach out her hand, he'd pull it back and say, "No, kidding." And he just wanted her to chase him around. So this went on for several days. Now, the last night, everybody at Por Los Niños, they put on this huge festival, pretty much, for us. Everybody, every house parent, I mean, all the kids, they'll come out. You realize there are 12 to 14 kids in each village. They have four there. So they sing us songs, will share a scripture with us. Some of the kids will sing a solo or something like that. So afterwards, now you know, oh no, now we got to say goodbye again. Everybody hates the goodbyes. So we do that, and Armando, you see him, and he's sad. But we finally, after you say, all right, everybody, we got to head out, okay? And I know if we get out of here in 45 minutes, we're going to do good that last night. It is torture that last night. So we all pile in the vans, and next thing you know, we are getting close to pulling out. We haven't really cranked them up yet, but everybody from inside, now they're outside. This doesn't ever happen, okay? Now they're outside of their big villa. You've got like 50-something people. The whole village is out. And you know what they're doing? For all the Americans, their family, they're blowing us kisses. And they're waving. Say, "Please don't leave. Come back to see us." All right, so this goes on. Next thing you know, you see little Armando, and he breaks away from the pack. Okay? And he comes running up. Now, our vans,
black tinted windows, right? And I'm driving one, I see Armando come up, and he has these like imaginary binoculars, and he's lifting up and he's looking in, and you know what he's asking? He said, Es Kylie? So I rolled down my window, Armando, ¿qué pasa, amigo? What's up, my friend? All right, and he said, ¿dónde está Kylie? And I said, oh, see? Okay, I'm saying, yeah, she's here. He said, Missy Kylie? It's okay. So he runs around to the front, opens the side door, and Kylie hops out. Okay, let's lock it. He said, Kylie, your hand? And she just thinks that he wants to shake her hand or give her five. Yeah, she holds her hand out, and then he does this. And he takes a locket, and he puts it in her hand, and he closes her hand, and he pats her hand, and she says, oh, no, Armando, I can't take your special locket. This locket means so much to you. And he said, no, from my heart to yours. And she said, oh, Armando, I can't take your locket. And then he says, I love you. And then the last part, he just says, thank you. Okay, I love how they say thank you. Thank you. And she hugs him, and she's looking back at us, and everybody's like, give me a towel, I can't take it. And we come home. What do we learn? Keep trying. Love deeply. Live simply. Folks, I know we are so out of time, and I'm sorry. I love y'all. You do not realize the impact that all of you have made on all of these mission trips through your prayers, through your financial donations. We thank you. If you want to know more details about anything, see me, see some of the teens. If we can help you in any way tonight, come now, while together we stand and as we sing.
Hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary.